Good morning. This is Pastor Marcella Baker. This will be the last recording that I make as pastor. And so the main point that I will try to make this morning is this. It's not what you put your trust in to find rest, but who. Resting is the word for this Sunday, as I know there are many who of us who are listening today who might also have your minds on my retirement or their own retirement. Retirement can definitely be a form of resting, and perhaps some of you may be thinking of how you will be resting this week on the 4th of July, our nation's Independence Day. So I'm going with the word resting to guide the sermon this morning. Now, let's pray as we begin the message. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So, where do we go with the word resting after we consider what the words of the scripture said this morning? Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. Well, this Wednesday will be the 4th of July, the nation's holiday, a day of parades, picnics, and expensive fireworks celebrations, a day when many of us will get together with special people we love and care about to celebrate our love of country, our independence and freedom, which is at the heart of what each of us may think it means to live as a citizen of the United States of America. As we look at that red, white, and blue flag, we may think the 4th of July is all about individual freedoms, because lately, within some political conversations, there are worrisome statements about what some identify as my rights, my freedom, my guns, my religion, and my vote. However, the first word in our Constitution puts everything that follows it inside a structure of a collective effort and of combined responsibility. The first word is we the people. That's all of us together. We are part of something bigger than any one of us. Actually, the preamble makes no mention of anything individual. It references union, common defense, general welfare, and it recognizes that we are not only independent, but we are interdependent as well, singular and plural too. We the people are part of a democracy that is inclusive of many. The opening word, we, goes into the heart of actual religion in our founding document of laws, without even mentioning God. It's about seeing ourselves as part of something bigger than ourselves. Like in our church at the LeConnor United Methodist Church, we are a family of God. So even though our founders purposely made no mention of God in the law of our land, we are unable to ditch our Judeo-Christian religion and those values years later. Now, granted, actual religion has love at its heart, and love, by definition, always involves relationships. Relationships are part of a community lived and expressed within the context of a commitment to someone and something other than ourselves. So it's always plural. It recognizes that others' needs are just as important as mine, and that I need to try to help others meet their needs. The we, the people, also sees everyone else as equally important and challenges us to replace our self-centeredness with love, compassion, healing, and forgiveness. This is who our founding ancestors said we were. And when we say we the people, it's supposed to be about seeing ourselves as individuals who are within a diverse web of life, who are in relationship with each other and with everything that's in the world. That's also the way the people of Israel saw themselves as we, a people with distinct history described in the Psalms, that was guided by a faithful God of mercy and justice. Now, we believe these verses in Genesis originated in Israel's exile amid hopelessness and despair engendered by having your country pillaged, your temple ruined, your cities wrecked. In other words, this sermon, Genesis 1, those verses, well, they were preached amid national devastation. There was a thrashing about going on in Israel, just as there is in our nation. In case some of you saw the political debates, you know just what I mean. This is one reason I have thought of Genesis 1 and God creating order out of chaos, light out of darkness, a new day for our nation, the United States of America. A formless void more truthfully tells what has happened to the collective consciousness of America when one thinks of how our American democracy was split on January 6th and America found its temple of democracy under attack. One's world at one moment can seem so stable, secure, fixed, and reliable, and yet it can be much more fragile than it seems. American airport security, even safe airline travel, is now an oxymoron, and innocent people just trying to shop or worship or do their job can be violently hurt in an instant with guns that fire hundreds of rounds of bullets in minutes. We find ourselves as Americans looking at the faces of these violent offenders on TV, desperate for a glimpse or a telltale sign of how their humanity could have been so marred as to lead them to such violent acts. Maybe Jesus was right in his dire predictions of what happens to those who take up the sword. I'm sure that in ancient Israel, there were folks who sincerely believed that the thick walls around Jerusalem couldn't be breached, that their vast temple would stand forever. And when this crumbled in a weekend, dark despair went with them into exile. What then in the darkest days of their exile? Isn't it amazing that Israel risked some of its most pushy, strong poetry like Genesis 1, declaring in full-throated joy these words, "In the beginning, when there was nothing but a formless void, then God said, let there be light. And there was." I would have thought the first word might have been something about vengeance or something that would have had to do with fear or bitterness. But no, the first word the exiles heard God say to a formless void was light. God spoke a word to a formless void of full of promise, a creative act, and created a new day full of light. On this Independence Day, 2024, the formless void right now in America is serious. If there is not a God who delights in bringing light out of the darkness, who likes nothing better than to go one-on-one with the void, then we are, quite frankly, without of hope. My little words to turn things around in November elections might seem of little comfort in the face of the despair many are feeling right now. And singing the old hymns of our Christian faith that tell of the faithful love of God in Jesus Christ that lasts forever need to remind people God was and is always at work. Well, they remind us of what Jesus said, "Do not worry, stand in the light." This is what Jesus, as I thought, this is what Jesus said about resting. So I thought, oh, Jesus, you've got to be kidding. Stand in the light. There's going to be a new day. Sing on. Sing on those old songs. Lately, as anxiety tries to mastermind my thinking and worrying is not resting, well, it's all I seem to do is worry. But I keep going back to Jesus' teachings, the ones that undercut the foundation of my house of worry. Jesus wants to undermine it and eventually to replace it with radical, risky trust in God and the mission of seeking God first, asking me to be confident that all these and other matters of darkness will fall in place if I give up a preoccupation with anxiety and security, individual security. So whether it was in Jesus' time or in 1776 or now, the good news today is this. God's will for the world will not be stumped. Keep looking for clues in the faces of heroic firefighters, of police women and men, and the heroic young people, the fathers and mothers of the elderly in our nation who are heroically not bitter and not hate-filled, even when the ones most dear to them are ripped from them in death by war or by violence. And for Americans who actually get registered to vote and do mail in their ballots or show up to vote, it's then when the creative lover that had the first word shall have the last, because God's love is stronger than human hate, because that's the way God has set up the world. And hate in American politics can't and won't last forever. Jesus calls us to respect each person for who they are, and we follow the great commandment by loving God with all our heart, our soul, and with all our mind. And then you know that the second commandment, like it, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Or today, as we follow the laws of our nation's constitution, be committed to living lives as we the people, independent and interdependent, singular and plural at the same time. This is the way the kingdom of God will be in the now and in the not yet, as Jesus has announced it. As we reflect on the creation story in Genesis 1, I think of how at the end of each day, during the process of creation, God looked at creation and said that all of life is good. With Genesis in mind, lately, when anyone asks me, well, Marcella, now that you're retiring, what do you plan to do with all the time that you're going to have on your hands? Early one morning, before the sunrise, while listening to birds and drinking my coffee outside, I thought about Mary Oliver's poem, The Summer Day. Maybe you might remember the part in that poem where Oliver asks, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Now, that's a huge question, but that's the problem with quotations. Out of context, they often lose their true meaning, because in the rest of the poem, Oliver describes in lots of details a grasshopper lazying in the soft green grass, eating sugar from her hand, just looking around and washing its face. And when Oliver continues looking at this grasshopper, she realizes that prayer consists of doing likewise. And that, as one writer I read so beautifully put it, prayer for humans is like feeling the soft grass while on our knees attending to simplicity. And so, what if during my retirement, my deepest pleasure and the world's greatest hunger are just that, the slow, simple embrace of the finite, attending to the simplicity of God's glory revealed in the minutiae of each day? Retirement for me will be an adventure, like that grasshopper. I can hop anywhere I want in my SUV, or I can just sit for a while in the soft green grass on my knees and attend to the simplicity of God's glory wherever I find myself. On this Sunday before the 4th of July, with the fireworks from the reservation going off nonstop, sounding my independence from pastoral responsibilities and retirement as a pastor beginning tomorrow, I close with these words that a pastor, Pastor Burrell, who was the first pastor to hire me when I got out of seminary, and taught me this response. I will lead you now in our response as a closing. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen.